Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Sorry to throw that in there.
I mean, why not?
Why not?
It's the dang slogan.
It's a damn KMOX. Nicholas Silver says, apropos of Jill Biden, who I don't like because I think she hid her husband's deficits and illnesses from the country to our detriment. Nicholas says, I think you're being unfair, Dave, because you're not holding Melania to the standard with Trump. Nicholas, you're not wrong. I think of Melania differently than any other first lady. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not one of those Trump is not my president people. He's my president. And Melania Trump is my first lady. But when she's only been in Washington for 2 weeks of the whole time that he's been there, like, she just doesn't give that vibe. Plus, we all know Trump's crazy. Okay. We all see it. It's not like Biden, who is kind of sneaky about it. Even the people who love Trump, my friends, acknowledge he's crazy.
Yeah. It's some of the draw in some cases.
Yeah, don't tweet out a picture of you as the next pope when the old pope's body's still warm.
And you don't do that when you're the president of the United States.
No.
Like if you did it or I did it or any random person did it, all right, fine. It's a little weird, but fine. You don't do that when you're the president.
So that's
part of why he's goofy.
That's my only defense, Nicholas, is just I just put her in a different category.
Well,
it's different, right, Rach, when it's like you're getting involved in the thing where she's just like, I want to be out of this thing.
Yeah, and also every time you criticize one side, do you really have to be like, and to be fair, also the others? I mean, that's just not realistic. We talk about the things that come to our minds. We try to be as fair as possible, but no, we're not going to give equal time complaining to both political parties every time we talk about politics.
Yeah.
I think that's a little...
Yeah. Agreed.
Unrealistic. Like
speaking of the new Pope, he is a White Sox fan.
Yeah. His brother confirmed it.
His mother was a Cubs fan.
Oh.
And his dad, a Cardinals fan.
Oh.
How about that?
Nice.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
And then his son became a Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal red.
And now he's... I'm not being disrespectful. This is no, I'm not.
We've said that a lot today.
Now he's like the coach of the Cardinals.
No, I'm seriously not. I just think it's cool that it's like Pope Bob.
Yeah.
Like his name's Bob. I kind of like that. I don't know why. I think we were talking about it earlier, Dave. It's just more, maybe just because these guys were all probably normal dudes to the people that grew up around them and in the week. But he's like us now. You know, we're like pounding the table. One of us. Well, like he's a baseball fan. I like that. I don't know if it's a stupid thing, but it is.
His brother said that there is an old lady in the neighborhood that when Pope Leo was six, said, you're going to be the first American pope.
What?
Yeah.
She must have been a prophetess.
She was burned, correct? Burned as a witch.
They took her away. They locked her up. It was sad.
Yeah.
Never saw the sun again.
It is funny how much we like familiarity, though, right?
I know. And it's funny how excited I am about the American Pope when I'm not Catholic. Like, the whole time they're doing the conclave, I'm like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, it's exciting for the Catholics, but why are we spending so much time on this? And now I'm like, USA.
But it's kind of like why we like the Cardinals and not the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're ours. They're here. They're one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The brother also let out that the night before, or maybe, yeah, I think it was the night before, the last time he could talk to Leo before he went into the conclave, he had just finished watching Conclave.
Nice.
So he was one of the ones that did that.
Yeah.
And then he watched Anora, you know, just to get all the Netflix out of
the way. Watching all the Best Picture nominees.
I'm sure they're watching Anora in Vatican City.
Sorry, that might have been disrespectful, and I do apologize.
Yeah, that one put me back.
They're screening it in the Sistine while they have the meeting.
Question. Popcorn. I saw someone last night online making the point that our society worships productivity and shames rest. That if you're resting, you are lazy. And with a lot of this bro culture, like, I'm up at 3 in the morning and I do 50,000 push-ups. And,
rising grind, brother.
Right. Yeah. What do you think? In general.
Well, the rest of the world thinks we're idiots. Because the rest of the world's not like that. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world has 5 weeks of vacation and they take time off and they take hour and a half long lunch breaks every day. And most of those places that do those things are report being happier than we are. So I'm not saying our way is quote unquote wrong because I don't know that there is a right or wrong.
Do you guys feel bad when you're resting?
No.
If I'm resting and I shouldn't be resting, yes, which I do. I can be a huge procrastinator too. Mm-hmm. And like lately, just to be real for a second, like I have been struggling with anxiety and like my mental health, and I procrastinate a lot to deal with that. Mm-hmm. It's like a bad side effect of dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And I feel really bad. Like there are times when I'm like deep in my phone, and I was just telling you this earlier, Dave, I'll be on Reddit for like 2 hours, mm-hmm. and I'm miserable while I'm doing it, but I can't seem to stop like this procrastination loop that I'm in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a balance with everything. Productivity is great. I don't think you have to be productive all the time. But if you are avoiding your real life to rest, I think that's a problem, too.
Do you think procrastination, and I'll just let everyone out there define it the way they want to define it in their mind, do you think that procrastination is the rule or the exception? Do you think most people procrastinate to a significant extent, or do you think it's just those of us like you and I who have mental illnesses who really take it out for a ride?
No, I'd say more do than don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what the number is, but I would bet more do than don't. But they do it on different things. So they might procrastinate on, so I might procrastinate, Dave, on something you would never wait on. And then you would do things that I would never wait on. Like, mm-hmm. It's not all the same stuff. And it's not always, you know, I mean, I think it's super common. I wouldn't say, I don't know anybody that doesn't procrastinate on something. Mm. Do you? Do you know anybody that's like, never leave anything hanging, I'm always going to get on top of it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do too, but they're rare.
Yeah.
It's like a couple people as opposed to the other 150 people that I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that's bad for me is the show. Because I think you guys will get this. Everyone but Wheels. Because he doesn't drink. But when we were younger and we would go out drinking and it would be midnight and all your inhibitions are down and you're like, let's go to Burger King and get the square chicken sandwich. You're like, yes! Like, there's something about the show and the way we do it and how hard it is and how much it takes out of you that I feel like I don't have to do anything else. Like, that's one of my big justifications for my procrastination. I'll get home or tomorrow morning I should go weed the plant garden things I have in my house. And I'm like, but I do a show.
Yeah,
I can't be expected to do this too, which of course I am.
Yeah, I think there are jobs that are like this. I think teachers have jobs like this, and certainly lawyers and some others. But it's not a job that you're ever not doing.
True.
There's always something, whether you're taking notes or you're just noticing things or you're reading something, watching something, listening to something. Like, you are always kind of in, at the very least, minor prep mode. Mm-hmm. If not full on prep mode, like it's the nature of the job. It's not a complaint. It just kind of is.
Yeah. Nicholas is back, says, love the show, and I'm probably your number one blind fan. How about that?
It's awfully presumptuous of him. You don't know. You don't know of our other blind fans. I'm kidding.
You are a salt lick today.
I'm kidding.
He's got stuff ready to go.
I got a lot going on.
Someone peed in your milkless Cheerios.
It would be very obvious.
You're my number one blind fan, Nicholas. Don't let him.
Don't let Andrew don't let ruin him get it.
To Thank you for loving the show. That's fantastic. Yes.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Very sweet. Wow, did you guys hear former Mayor Jones yesterday on NPR?
Mm-mm.
Woo!
I didn't know.
Not
okay,
my
what did
fault.
She say? Because I saw a bunch of reports of things she had said, but I didn't necessarily know it was on STLPR.
Yeah, it was. She lost because of race.
Yeah,
I did see that.
She lost because of race.
Yeah, it wasn't because of the whole can't clear the streets, can't clear the
roads. It wasn't
because
you were an embarrassment of a mayor.
Can't fix the potholes.
I mean, we knew that was
the tax. Put up a fake barrier around City Hall.
And she said that when she would go to different areas, North City and South City, and she would ask people who were supporting Kara Spencer why, and they wouldn't tell her, she knew it had to be race.
Mm.
I hate that.
Yeah.
That, oh, if it's not something enumerated, it's race. No, they just didn't want to tell you that you're a terrible mayor.
People don't like awkward situations,
no.
So they want to say to your face, it's because you suck.
Between her and Kim Gardner, they almost took St. Louis down.
Yeah.
And I don't think we owe them anything. I don't think we owe them a great deal of respect. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, own that you blew it. Right? And now you could make an argument along the lines of what she's making. If things were going really well and people turned on you.
Yeah.
Like, great point, Wheels.
You know, there are circumstances where you might go there in your mind.
And I'm sure it was about race for some people.
Of course, it always is for some people.
But to say that that's the reason, and I do have to question, like, did that happen? Like, how many people did you go to and ask, why are you voting for someone else? And they're like, I don't want to say. Like, did that really, that happened dozens of times and you led to this conclusion? It's just a little off to me.
Yeah, yeah. How would you even know?
How dare you, based on one conversation, based on her reporting, that based on one conversation you labeled a constituent a racist? How dare you? That's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to do.
Yeah. And especially when you basically dropped every ball that you were supposed to catch.
Yeah.
I had people were talking about this on the St. Louis subreddit yesterday, and a lot of people were saying it's because you were traveling all the time, and it's not like, oh, you're spending taxpayer dollars to travel, because no, as she said, she spent her own money, but you weren't in the city. You weren't involved.
Here.
You weren't doing the things that we want the mayor to do.
We were constantly hearing about how she was in like a mayoral conference off on the completely opposite end of the country or whatever. And
which really helped her. She took all that stuff back and made St. Louis better.
Yeah, you're just not here.
Did they ever have a breakout session in one of your many kind of CLE kind of things that you were doing, that if the head of your street department during one of the worst snowstorms you've ever had, 3 days after everyone is crippled, that you say, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have covered that. You fire her ass the day you get back.
Yeah.
That lady's gone.
Yep. Yep. And you don't say no comment or not get into the things that were going on with Kim Gardner.
Yeah.
Right? You say this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have the power to fire someone or whatever, you've got to be on the side of the right thing. And when people are working for the city or in the city and they're doing things wrong, your job is to protect the city.
Yeah.
And your job is to fix the roads. And your job is to find some kind of compromise on the Rams money and the DARPA money. Or DARPA. We don't get DARPA. The ARPA money.
Yeah, DARPA would be cool.
That's a little different thing. But yeah, I mean, like, what's an achievement?
Brian asked Nicholas, our number one blind fan, what he imagines when he pictures the show. And he says, I imagine it looking like the Addams Family with Rachel as the caregiver.
I mean, not far
off. Not far
off.
So, like Morticia?
Yeah, who's the caregiver?
You.
Mm.
I mean, no, Morticia is kind of like the reasonable person in the room in that show.
Yes.
So that's probably the right one.
I wish I looked like Morticia. That'd be awesome.
You have a little Morticia to you. Got the long hair.
Thank you.
Tall, thin.
Thank you.
You just got to do the really goth makeup, and yeah. I think you got it.
It's not good for the rest of us.
I'm Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you are Wednesday. Top five.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Five all-time rock intros.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty solid.
I like the Welcome to the Jungle one better, though.
You're about to hear it.
Look out.
So I read an article today, and I actually read the article. You should be proud of me. And it was about how Elon Musk, primarily, and Joe Rogan, secondarily, are bringing back the R word to mainstream conversation. And it was written by someone who didn't like that it was happening, but was very even-handed about not understanding why people in that culture want it to be back and are taking such glee in it and taking back the First Amendment and the true First Amendment and being able to say that word and there's nothing wrong with it and so forth. Now, let me be real. Like Rach was saying a couple segments ago, I've used that word thousands of times. It's just one of those words I grew up with. I can honestly say this, though. It was always your friend was the target for their behavior. It was never someone who had any sort of mental deficits or disabilities. I think most people I know would say the same thing. But I have some friends who have a profoundly autistic son and a couple friends who have kids with Down syndrome. And they didn't approach me like, Dave, you say, because I don't think I've ever said it on the air like that. But it bothers them. And that was enough for me.
Yeah.
That was enough for me.
What I don't understand is, A, you've always been able to say it.
Right.
There's nobody ever said, there's no law about it. You're just going to be shamed for it. You're going to be called out for it. You're going to get yelled at for it. And if you're okay with all that, then have at it. But you don't get to do things that are, because you're clearly doing it now because you know It's just a power move for you, right? I don't care if it hurts someone. Well, that doesn't say good things about you if you don't care about how those things hit other people. It doesn't say a good thing about you. There's something wrong with you if you think, I don't care if this hurts someone's feelings or if it bothers them. I can get it in some ways. You can't live your life trying to please everybody. That's a different thing than celebrating. Like, we could say it again. You always could. And you know what? Honestly, a lot of the rest of us are still going to look down on you for doing it. Not in the, you know, not in the casual thing, but the people that are celebrating it. Because, you know, most people that have used it casually, you're right, Dave, they don't mean anything terrible by it. It was a habit formed years ago. It was something that at a previous time was not seen the same way that it is now. Just like a lot of other slurs, right? There are a lot of things, whether they're homophobic or ethnic or racial, whatever, they were in a time they weren't looked at the same way they are now. But you have to adapt with the times. And refusing to do it is just you being stubborn for your own selfish reasons.
Rach, what do you think?
Just feels like a stupid hill to die on. Like, is your life that much worse because you feel like people aren't applauding when you say that word? Like, get a life. I mean, like Wheel said, say it if you want to say it. Deal with the
consequences.
The consequences that comes with that. But like, to lead a crusade, anyone who's like, we're taking it back. It's like, I have nothing for you. Like, I have nothing for you.
Yeah. And again, I'm really more mad about those particular people that are just like they want to shove it in everybody's faces that it's back. We're back. So what? You don't gain anything from this. Yay, I get to celebrate that I can be a jerk to people. I mean, you know, again, I understand completely, Dave. You and I are from a generation where that word was thrown around commonly. And sometimes old habits pop up and you're like, probably shouldn't do that. But that's different than being like, yes, and I'm going to do it all the time because I can do it.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Time to talk to our pal, Bernie Miklas. Hey, Bern.
Dave, how you doing? How's the gang today? Everybody ready for the weekend?
Everybody's good, yeah.
After that intro, man, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, he's pumped. He just punched Andrew right in the face.
I deserve it.
He's like, welcome back to Paradise City, bitch.
I earned it.
Bern, I got to tell you something. I'm so enamored with being your friend. I'll see you on TikTok on the Sports Hub, and I'm like, I had dinner with that guy.
Well, I feel the same about you, Dave. You know, you've been hearing about Dave Glover and this great success that he is, and I'm like, you know, I wonder what this guy's really like. I have a sense of what you're like, and to be honest, I do like you, believe it or not. I do very much so.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. So I usually start out with a bunch of Bernie questions, but my question for you is just, what do you want to talk about today? What's on your mind?
Well, this is a huge road trip for the Cardinals because they've, you know, you have to go back. I went all the way back to 1901. You know, the Cardinals, they're 4-13 on the road. There's only been like three teams in Cardinals history, and actually St. Louis Browns history, that ever got off to a worst road start, like through 17 games. So this is a big credibility check because, listen, they've had, as we all know, they had a really great homestand. The bullpen's been restructured. The bullpen is much better than it was even 2 weeks ago. And the Cardinals got some momentum going. But, you know, we're all looking at them to see if they can now take this good baseball and, you know, all the things that comes with it, and they can start to win some road games. I think it's really important. It's a three series, 10-game road trip, or 9-game road trip, sorry, 10 days. And I just think it's a really good time to kind of test them to see if that part of their season, the road, is going to get better.
What's really fascinating, Bern, and it's almost like we shared notes today, because on our rundown, I put this as a critical road trip. not because it's the end of the world, but it's a big, as you put it, a big test. And part of it is, while the Washington, like Washington, for example, is not a great team, but you're going to face two good left-handers in this series, in Mitchell Parker tonight and Mackenzie Gore, who's basically their Liberator. Strikes out more guys, but he's having that kind of breakout year. And then you've got Christopher Sanchez and Jesus Luzardo and Aaron Nola. And then you've got the three best guys for the Royals in Reagans, Lugo, and Waka. So, you know, the Royals started badly. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. The Phillies are the Phillies. And Washington is sneaky dangerous, although they're not great. I think that's why it becomes more interesting. If you can get 4 or 5 wins on this trip, that's a good trip.
Yeah, especially in the context of how bad they've been on the road so far. So yeah. I agree with you. And the other thing about this, and boy, I've got a million numbers, but I won't bore anybody with it. There's going to be a column posted soon about this. I identified, well, what have the problems been on the road? It's unbelievable how bad the Cardinals bullpen has been on the road. It's almost laughable because you're like, it's like somebody made these numbers up. And the good thing about it, though, you know, this bullpen just blew up time and time and time and time again up until the time they demoted Ryan Fernandez. Just unbelievably awful stats. But since they made that move, since April 25th, they've been one of the very best one of the very best bullpens in Major League Baseball in a lot of areas. They've been really, really, really good. And, you know, they had a 1.02 ERA, the bullpen did, in that 6-game homestand. So this is the first real test drive for this restructured bullpen. Because, again, we saw them pitch great at home. Now they're going to have to show they can do it on the road. But I think I like their chances of being certainly much better in their relief work on the road this time. But we'll find out. You know, maybe not. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm being premature in thinking that.
Well, Matt and I talked about this the other night because Ollie discussed this both on the Gas House Gang with you guys, but also with Katie Wu of The Athletic about the way that they're now deploying Steven Matz, where he's kind of in what the Liberator role was last year, which could be really valuable to have a veteran who's pitching well as a leverage guy to go with those others. And hopefully Graceffo can keep showing signs that he can handle some of that too.
Yeah. And I think that was a really big deal to start shuffling some new personnel in there and also using Kyle Leahy in higher leverage situations. Mm-hmm. It's all fallen into place really well, but there's no mystery in why they're 4-13 on the road when you look at those gruesome bullpen numbers. But no, right. Plus the starting pitching hadn't been that great on the road. And also the offense has been really mediocre. And that's one of the things that amazes me because they're so much better at home than on the road. And Busch Stadium this year is playing neutral, exactly neutral. Hmm. Doesn't favor hitters or pitchers. But yet the Cardinals, they're ranked in the top 5-6 in all the offensive categories in terms of home games. And you get on the road, they're pretty mediocre. And I got the stat of the year to just – in fact, I think it's the craziest stat of the Cardinals season so far. I did put it on X early today. But in 69 plate appearances on the road this season, the Cardinals' collection of designated hitters – 69 plate appearances. They don't have a home run. They don't have an RBI. They have one double, and they have batted 100 with runners in scoring position. How is that even possible?
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that even possible?
No idea.
And that's why Ivan Herrera. Sorry, I always say Ivan. I don't know why. That's why he's got to be their DH, and he's got to stay there. I mean, there's no reason to delay what should be an obvious move.
Byrne, to drill down on that, I was asking Wheels his opinion earlier about what I sort of call the almost guys, like Walker and Gorman and Burleson, and Herrera's not an almost guy, but, you know, he's been out. How do you think that Marmol and Mosaic are handling those almost guys?
Well, Ollie Marmol told us on the Gas House Gang a couple weeks ago, you know, this so-called runway doesn't last forever. They're not close to, you know, giving up on these guys.
Right.
John Mozeliak told the same thing to Katie Wu. You know, said, listen, we want to be patient with them, and we are being patient. It's really important. And, you know, we wanted to do this. But he said the runway is not finite or infinite. You know, he said, you know, this at some point they're going to have to start showing they can get it done and their things are starting to work or not. And he was right. Mozeliak was right in what he told Katie Wu. And like both of them are doing some things that lead you to believe that the offense is going to come. I mean, Gorman's plate discipline is much better.
Yep.
He's not chasing as much. His strikeout rate is down. He's taking walks. I've been talking about that for a couple of weeks now. Jordan Walker's got great bat speed. He's hitting the ball hard. He's not chasing quite as much. I mean, he's got some things that tell us he's maybe plugging in a little bit. So we'll see. I think it's a bad, really important road trip for those two guys in particular.
And I think it's important too, Bern, that like in the case we're talking about, they're not being pushed out of the lineup for a Michael Ciani or some old guy. I mean, it's Ivan Herrera, who's also one of those guys.
Well, yeah, and Herrera's he's just such a great hitter, and I don't hesitate to say that either. And you know, when you look at how horrible their designated hitters group has done this year, boy, what a pleasant addition he is to plug into that DH spot. Because Páez and Pozo are doing a great job behind the plate. They don't need Ivan Herrera there. And by the way, it would be stupid because he's coming off a knee injury that held him out a month. They don't need him getting beat up behind the plate. They need his bat. But, you know, Páez has thrown out 35% of base stealers this year. That's an excellent number.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Pozo hadn't been bad either. He's a little bit below average. The two of them combined, they've thrown out 29% of base stealers. Ivan Herrera, the last 3 years, he has cut down 8% of base stealers. The National League Central Division is the best division in baseball in terms of stolen bases. I mean, the Reds, the Cubs are number one, the Brewers are number two, the Reds are number six, the Pirates are number nine. They run wild. You got to have a catcher back there to control the running game. There is no reason whatsoever to worry about Herrera catching this year or maybe ever. You know, there's some guys have gotten to the Hall of Fame as DHs. It's not like you have to be ashamed of that.
Yeah.
And I look ahead, the Cardinals got three or four really good catching prospects on the way. So this is going to be interesting. I don't know why I have a feeling they're going to screw this up, though. They're going to force it, and they don't need to force it. I'm sorry, they don't.
Bern, I have a selfish question. 1 week from today, I'm taking my son Nick to Wrigley Field for both of our first time. Any must-dos or any special things about Wrigley I need to know?
No, man, I would just walk around the concourse, and it's not that there's anything special about it, but when you see Wrigley Field from all angles, like, like every level of the ballpark, just make sure you walk around it. Like, you know, it's not a circle. It's like a horseshoe thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just look at it from every vantage point, because you'll just see Wrigley Field in kind of a different light, depending on the angles. And also you'll see a different backdrop, like in the landscape, where you get sort of the full scale look of what a glorious ballpark that is in terms of the setting and everything about it.
What's your favorite ballpark outside of Busch?
I would say, believe it or not, even though I downgraded it a little bit because they've junked it up a little bit. There's nothing like Dodger Stadium in a night game out there because the weather's like perfect. It's just a great, great ballpark with a tradition. And I really, really, really love that. So I'd say Wrigley would be, you know, on the top five list. Other than that, I mean, none of them really grab. Fenway's pretty cool. Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times. Other than that, though, none of them really grab me. There's a lot of really nice ballparks. We're talking about really putting them like at the very top.
Wheels, how about you?
Man, well, the only bummer is I haven't been to the big East Coast ones, right? I haven't been to the coast, so I haven't been to Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium, Fenway. So outside of St. Louis, my favorite old time was Tiger Stadium, but that's gone now. That doesn't exist. Veteran Stadium was dumb. I didn't like that. I'll say this. Atlanta's stadium now is really cool. Their new stadium is very cool. It's in a cool little spot. I don't know if you've been there, Bern, but it's got like the whole, the built big development around it with restaurants and all that. It's a terrible place to drive because the highways are bad, but it's a really good spot for that ballpark. If you're already in town or if you're like staying not too far from that hotel. But that's probably my favorite of the new ones that I've been to.
I love it out. I really love watching baseball in San Francisco and the new ballpark too is, Are you kidding me with that bay? Like, depending on where you're sitting, you know, you look out, see the bay. It's such a great vista. And also, I've said this for a long time, San Francisco baseball crowds are, to me, the best in baseball.
Wow.
There's something about that environment. Those people have an absolute ball. They're fully engaged. It's so much fun. And, you know, the vibe for Giants games at home is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And that is not me putting down St. Louis at all. It's just an honest opinion of, like, that vibe out there for baseball games is terrific.
Bern, I'm going to be calling Saliga very soon to come out and do my air conditioning checkup to tell us all about him. Welcome back, DGS. Happy Friday. Okay, I have a kind of a dumb question. I've seen things where people have the mirror that gives you the realistic view of how other people see you. And people freak out, like, oh, my God, I look like that. Oh, that's so off-putting. Bleh. So I'm looking at myself right now on camera, and, like, my shirt's spelled the correct way. Is that what I look like?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you look like to me. You look the same as you do through the camera.
Yeah, so what's up with that, like, true mirror thing? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm looking at you guys, and that's what you look like, so I don't know why I wouldn't look the same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think in a true mirror there would be, like, a radical difference between
people
what you think
out.
You look like after looking at yourself in a regular mirror with object permanence versus, like, the true... You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there might be a very slight variation of, you know, face shape or something, but I don't see how it could possibly be a radical difference.
Yeah, I see those videos too. I don't understand them. I think a lot of times it's like...
Just content?
Yeah, and it's like compliment fishing. Like, what? I look like that. I look crazy. Oh, okay. And then the comments are like,
and then people
beautiful.
Are like, you're
beautiful.
Great.
No, you're high.
Yeah.
You're a stud.
Well, maybe I can get a little of that on the stream.
Yeah, maybe.
Couldn't hurt.
You guys think Dave looks okay?
Couldn't hurt.
Let us know on the stream.
Yeah, like, you screwed me.
Am I pretty?
Am I a pretty girl? Would you consider yourselves photogenic?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Neither yes or no.
Not in the slightest.
Across the board, huh?
Man, there's this one photo of me from the bachelor party over the weekend where there's a way that I sit and a way that I lean that just is just dreadful. And I don't do it that often, but I, you know, I do it for pictures mostly because when you're like, lean in, everybody. Hoo-wee. That is a bad look. Not a flattering angle.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.